Amen. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up or something. Yeah, okay. All right. Praise God. Well, again, I want to welcome everybody here this evening. Praise the name of the Lord. Welcome the live streamers also tonight. Amen. You believe God's going to minister to you tonight? Amen. I do too. So praise God. Thank you, guys. Well, the guys are gone. So, hallelujah. Praise God. So, all righty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for the Word of God? I say, are you ready for the Word of God? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, let's jump right in, okay? All right, Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone that has gathered here with us this evening here in the sanctuary. And I thank you, Father, for those that are watching the live stream. And I pray, Father God, that they will receive your word, that they will be able to hear your word and receive your word into their hearts tonight. I pray, Father God, that they will be changed because of your living word. Hallelujah. It has the power to change. It has the power to change us. It has the power to change situations and circumstances that we have to deal with. If we will hear it and receive it in our hearts. So, Father, I pray that that is the case tonight. And, dear Lord, we're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. I thank you, Father, for this privilege of ministering your word. Thank you for your anointing to do that, because I'm not resting in my own abilities, but I'm resting in you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen with me. Amen. Praise God. All righty. I want to share for a little bit tonight concerning asking God. How many of you have ever asked God for anything? And I'm sure that's everybody. Amen. We want to just talk a little bit about asking God. Praise God. So, but first, before we go to a particular verse, I want to remind you of what the Bible says, that we are laborers together with him. Don't you ever forget that. We work together with him. Am I right? Amen. We are the ones that he used in the earth to get his will done. God works through people. God works through yielded vessels. Vessels that are yielded to him. And he will use those vessels for his glory. Can I get another amen on that? Amen. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the first verse, it says, we then as workers together with him. You see that? We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. But notice here, he's saying that we are working together with him. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the word of God says, for we are God's fellow workers. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. So the Apostle Paul was pointing out the fact that we work together with God. Have you ever thought about this? We're told to go and preach the gospel. We're told to go and be a witness. We're told to pray for others. How many of you have had the blessed opportunity, and it is a blessed opportunity indeed, how many of you have had the blessed opportunity to pray with someone and lead them to Christ Jesus? Amen. Guess what? We were laboring together with God. We didn't save them. We couldn't save them. But God used us as a vessel to get that person born again. God wants to use us. Don't you ever forget about that. God wants you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much education you have or how little education you have. God still wants to use you for His glory. Amen. I am so glad that the Word of God tells us that God can take nothing and make something out of it. Let me say that again. God, a little different way, God will take nothing and make something out of it. What God requires of us is to be yielded vessels to Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So then we have to understand that we are laborers together with Him. We're fellow workers with Him. Now, having said all that, then we understand then if we are working together with Him, then we're going to have to be in communication with Him. Am I right? We're going to have to talk to Him. He's going to have to talk to us. You know, if you're going to have a good marriage, there must be communication between the husband and the wife. You have to communicate. You got a fellowship together because you're working together. As a matter of fact, do you know that God compares the marriage between a man and his wife to the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus? Amen. And just as there's communication in our marriage, or it should be, I said it should be, amen. So just as there is communication in our marriage, there's also communication between us and God. Amen. When there's a lack, listen to me now, when there is a lack of communication, what happens? You begin to grow apart. Now there is a difference, one difference, in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with our spouse. If there's a separation happening between us and the Lord, it's not because He moved. It's because we moved. Now, couples can grow apart, and it can happen on both sides. But God never walks away from us. We have to walk away from Him. We have His promise that said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So we don't ever have to be concerned about God walking away from us. Ever. Ever. Amen. Matter of fact, He gave His very best in order to have a relationship with us, and that was His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, you're still here. Amen. So now, let's go back to the marriage again between a man and his wife. And I want to talk to the husbands for a moment. How many husbands we have in here? Husbands, raise your hand. Come on, husbands, raise your hand. Praise God. All right. Now, those of you that are not husbands, you just bear with us for a moment. You know, it's good. But now, you husbands that raise your hand, how many of you that your wife ever asked you for something? Mine went up first. Huh? Ask you for something. Praise God. And now I won't tell this on my wife, but sometimes they ask in funny kind of ways. Now, amen. Now my wife was on the phone with her brother, her twin brother today, and I know she was picking at me too. But there's this certain store she wanted to go to, and I never told her I wouldn't take her. I never told. But and I, she was teasing me too. I understand that. But she told her brother, tell James to take me to this particular store. Now I'm standing there, and she told her brother to tell me to take her. Persuading. All right. Amen. But at some point in time, we will get to this store. But here's what I'm getting at. In a relationship, there is some asking going on. And wives ask their husband for things. Husband ask their wives for things. Amen. Sometimes a husband asks their wife, honey, would you fix me a sandwich? And I hope you're a good wife and say, yes, honey, I'd be glad to. Rather than say, get in there and fix it yourself, you lazy thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Husbands can fix their wives' sandwiches, too. Somebody out there think this is good preaching. Guys, I hope I ain't getting y'all in trouble, but if you don't know how to make a sandwich, you might want to learn real quick. Go ahead and Google it and find out how you make one. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you understand there has to be communication. In a relationship, you need each other. One need what the other one has. Amen. And so when God created us, he put us in this world, on this earth, and he equipped us with some things that he needs. You ever thought about that? God equipped each of us with the gifts that we have so that he can call upon us when he needs us. Now, we know all good things come from the Lord, right? Amen. All good things come from the Lord. And yes, God gives us gifts and abilities to be a blessing to us as well, but God always wants to be able to call on us when he needs us to use what he has given us for his glory. Are you still here? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want to talk a little bit about us as right now. We understand there's fellowship and laboring together, working together with God. But I want to talk for a moment from the perspective of us asking God. Because too many times, you know, we can get religious and say, well, you know, you can ask him, but you know, if it be God's will, well, first of all, you need to know some things before you ask him. And we'll get to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I want you to know and understand that we can ask God for things. As a matter of fact, go turn in your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's see what the Word of God says. Luke chapter 11. Now, Jesus is teaching here. So let's look at verse 9. We'll just pick it up at verse 9. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask." Everybody say ask. Yes. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Look at verse 10. "For everyone who asks receives." Do you see that? "For everyone who asks receives." I want to say that again. "For everyone who asks receives." Now you may be thinking, "Pastor, I asked and I didn't get an answer to my prayer." Well, just stay with me, okay? "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And as a matter of fact, let me read on. It goes on to say, verse 11, Jesus is teaching here. He said, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Somebody shout, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I share that verse with folks sometime if I'm ministering to them to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, letting them know that it is God's will to give you his Holy Spirit. It's God's will for us to be born again. It's God's will for us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But it's also God's will to answer our prayers. Glory to God. Are you still here? Now, since we are on that subject, flip backwards to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 11. And I won't read it all, but I want to read one verse from Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." You see that? Let's read it to you again. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." But you got to ask first. I say you got to ask first. Glory to God. Now, for those that say, "Pastor, I have asked some things and I haven't received an answer to my prayer. What's wrong?" Well, it depends on what it is. Sometimes it's timing. Depending on what you're asking for. Sometimes especially immature Christians, will ask God for things that are beyond their ability to handle. Now, I'm not going to ask God to send me a $5 million airplane so I can fly around the country. First of all, I don't need an airplane. If I had one, I don't have anybody to fly. And if I had the airplane, I got to have some extra money to pay the taxes on that thing and put fuel in it. You understand what I'm saying? So, but sometimes, and I know that's extreme, but it makes the point. Sometimes people ask for things that are beyond their ability to handle, or ask for things they absolutely don't need, or sometimes ask for things that it is not God's will for them to have. It goes crosswise the Word of God. You still here? All right, praise God. Now, I give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Turn to the book of James. Now, one thing about Brother James, man, he get to the point. Not that the other ones don't, but James deal with some issues. So, the book of James, chapter 4. And let's look at verse 1. He asked a question here, as of course he was moved by the Holy Spirit to do. So really, it's God asking the question, am I right? Yeah, really, it's God asking the question. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? Listen at this, now stay with me. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Do you lust and do not have? Excuse me, let me read verse 2 again. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. All right? You've heard that scripture quoted, I'm sure, many a time. You have not because you ask not. Now, guys, give me verse 1, James chapter 4, verse 1 in the New Living Translation, please. I want to read it to you. Just stay with me. See, when Jesus says, if we ask anything, God will give it to us, right? He meant what he said. He told us the truth. So the problem is never on God's end. If there's an issue, it's always on our end. So New Living Translation, it says, what is causing quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? Now, I think we see where we're going with this. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Sometimes our prayers, the answer to our prayers are not manifested simply because of some changes that we need to make, some things that we need to do. So let me read it again. Excuse me. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Verse 2, please. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. And killing doesn't necessarily mean literal murder, but you know, hatred and jealousy, envy. In other words, you hate a person because they got something you don't have, or they have something you want. We'll read on. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't what? Ask God for it. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Now, let's read on. Verse 3, please. And even when you ask, you don't get it. Uh-oh. Well, why wouldn't God answer my prayers when Jesus already said that ask what you will and I'll give it to you? He says, and when you ask, you don't get it because what? Your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Amen. You know what? When we ask God for something, we need to ask God for something that's going to bring glory to His name. Look, if we need an automobile, you know, if we're praying about an automobile or a vehicle, you know what? God's not going to bless you with a vehicle just so you can go serve the devil with it. God doesn't give us gifts so that we can serve the devil. Lord, bless me with a brand new car so I can drive it to all the clubs, the strip joints, and wherever else I want to go with it. You think God's going to answer that prayer? No. Absolutely. And that's exactly what James is saying here in the book of James, that some of these folks, they were fussing and fighting and carrying on because they wanted, you know, they were greedy, they were jealous, they were full of pride. In other words, their whole motives were wrong. They just wanted stuff, give me stuff, Lord, give me stuff, give me stuff. And once I get the stuff, you just step out of the way, leave me alone, and I'll take it from here. And they don't get their prayers answered. Now, again, don't get under condemnation, because you may be saying, well, Pastor, I don't do that. I love the Lord. But my prayer hadn't been answered yet. Well, just stay with it. Don't quit. Lord, I've been praying for healing of my body and it hadn't manifested yet. Don't quit. Remember Mark 11:24? When you pray, believe that you receive and you have it. You know your motives are right. You know your heart is pure. You're not asking God to bless you with something so that you can drive it past your neighbor's house and say, hey, look what I got and you don't have. Can I help you with something? God hates pride. He hates pride. God's called each and every one of us to serve one another. He might bless you with a brand new car, but your neighbor might need a ride to church or might need a ride to the grocery store. Get in your brand new car and take them down to the grocery store. What you doing? You serving. You serving. Amen. He wants our motives right, because God wants to use us to be a blessing and to help someone else. Are you still with me? Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Wow. So we'll go just a little longer. But now, I don't want to leave you hanging here. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Now, here's the clicker right here. John 15th chapter. Jesus made it plain. Now grab a hold of this, John 15. Mark it in your Bibles if you have a Bible that you can mark in, or if you have your tablet, highlight it. John chapter 15, listen to this. Verse 7, Jesus is again teaching here. Listen to what he says. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You see that? See, now that's the same thing that James was saying. They've just said it a little different way. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Whoa. You're still here. The key to answered prayer, listen to me. The key to answered prayer is to abide in Christ Jesus. Get your eyes off of the world and the desires of the world. Put your focus on God. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you stay with me, if you dwell in me, if you remain in me. But that's not all he said. He said, and if my word abide in you. See, that's the reason when we pray, we need to remind God of what he said, because that word need to be on the inside of us. If you're sick in your body, and I'll just use that for an example, if you're sick in your body, you need to remind God, and not only God, but God's not trying to make you sick, okay? God's not trying to make you sick, but you need to remind God, and you need to let the devil know that you know that by Jesus' stripes, you've already been healed. When Jesus was challenged, he used the word of God. Guess what? The word of God was in him. When the devil tempted him to turn stones into bread, he used the word of God. You hear me? He used the word of God. When the devil tried to get him to bow down and worship him, what did he do? He used the word of God. Listen to this. When the devil offered him the world, and I'm talking about the world system. Y'all do know there's a difference between the world system and the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That's the people of the world. You hear me? That's the people of the world. God loved people because he sent his son to redeem fallen man. So there is the world people, and then there's the world system. And Satan offered Jesus the world system. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. He offered him the world system. And Jesus used the word of God against him. Amen. And whatever we do, we need to make sure that we have the Word of God on the inside of us. And in order for that to happen, that means we gotta read it every day. We need to put it on the inside of us every day. Or listen to it. Get the Word of God on the inside of you, because listen, that's what the devil comes after, is the Word of God. The more word, listen to me, the more word you have on the inside of you, the more dangerous you are to him. Let me say that again. The more Word of God that you have on the inside of you, the more dangerous you become to the devil and his plans. When the Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you, well, how are you going to resist him? You got to have something to resist him with. Because naturally speaking, we're not able to resist him. We're natural fleshly people, flesh, blood, and bone people. He is a spirit. We're no match for him. But yet and still, we're told to resist him, and we're also told when we resist him, he will flee from us. Well, how can that happen? You got to have something on the inside of you. You got to know the Word of God. You got to put the Word of God on him. Amen. Now, sometimes we get in over into self-pity. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it is human nature sometimes to just want to get over into self-pity and want somebody to pat you on the back and tell you, "It, you know, you all right, I understand. They shouldn't have done you that way. You know, they shouldn't have said what they said to you or about you. You know, poor thing, you know, I sympathize with you. Wow, you know, you have a right to feel the way you feel. You have a right to look the way you look. You have a right to sob and sob and sob and sob." Sometimes when we get over in self-pity, we decide, "I don't want to read the Word of God. I just want to pout." But we don't understand that we're falling right in the trap of the devil. And by the way, when we encourage one another, we need to encourage them with the Word of God. If a brother or sister are down, we need to build them up. Are you still here? Glory to God. Let hang on just a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians, the 6th chapter. I want to read to you the first verse. It says, "Brethren, if a man," excuse me, "if a man is overtaken in a fault or in any trespass," I'm reading from the New King James Bible, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are," what? "Spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now notice it said restore. It did not say camp out in their misery. It says restore them. How do you do that? You encourage them in the Word of God. You remind them what God has said about their situation. You remind them that God is on their side. You remind them that the very devil that is coming against you right now has already been defeated by Christ Jesus. You remind them that Jesus himself took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses, all your weaknesses, all your sicknesses. He bore them. You encourage them rather than saying, well, brother, well, sister, I understand. Trouble comes sometimes. My mama had the same thing, and she died, but she hung on as long as she could. No, 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 no. That's not encouraging. You tell folk what the Word of God says. You stand on what the Bible says. Notice what we just read. Well, they still have it up. Let me read it to you again. If any man is overtaken in any trespass, and that doesn't have to be sickness in anything, You who are spiritual, everybody say restore.
Restore.
Say it again.
Restore.
You restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And that means any brother or sister that have walked away from God. Sometime a brother or sister fall and we're ready to kick them out, kick them aside, rather than get them restored. But I am glad that says those of you who are spiritual, restore them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You're still here? Hallelujah. So remember, if we're going to get our prayers answered, we got to be full of the Word of God. In other words, we got to continually, every day, feed on the Word of God. Feed on the promises of God. Listen at this. Grab a hold of this. Feed on God's faithfulness. And understand something. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said again in Mark 11, when you ask God, you believe that you receive, and then you stand on the Word of God that confirms the fact that you have received. Bless the name of the Lord. So when you ask God, and I'm getting ready to close now, but when you ask God for something, first of all, you got to understand he wants to answer your prayer. Whatever you ask him, he wants to meet that need. You got to understand that. God is not a mean God. He wants to give us everything we need. Hallelujah. God don't want you hungry. God don't want you sick. God wants you strong and able to go forth and do his will and have a good life. Bless the name of the Lord. Look at somebody and tell them, say, God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God. Tell that same person, and he loves you too. Yes, but nothing. He still loves you. He still loves you. And he wants to answer your prayer. He wants to answer your prayer. So, amen. Father, I want to thank you right now. for answering our prayers. Father, may we continually feed on your word, because when we feed on your word, we learn what your will is. We learn what we can ask you for. We learn what's proper to ask you for and what's not proper to ask you for. We understand, Father, that anything that lines up with your word, you will answer that. You will confirm your word through answered prayer. Hallelujah. So may we feed on your word. Feed on your word and abide in Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Hallelujah. If anyone's watching the live stream tonight, and I always want to do this before we quit. If you're watching the live stream and you